Our lives are all the summation of those who've gone before us, who cared about us, who loved us, who invested in us, who made a difference in us. And when you think about your own spiritual journey, you realize that had someone not loved you, had someone not cared about you, life would have been so much more difficult. And yet there were those who sacrificed, those who made the difference. This week I was reading the most interesting, amazing story of a family who lives here in Atlanta, Georgia. In 2006, they were driving down near where they lived, and their 14-year-old daughter at the time looked out the window. And out the window, she saw on one side someone with a brand new car, and on the other side, she saw a guy holding a sign. And she said to her parents at that time, we ought to give our lives away. We ought to make a difference. We ought to live on half of what we do. We ought to get rid of our big house, and we ought to go to a smaller house, and we ought to do something that would make a bigger difference in someone else's life. And when you look at what transpired in Kevin Salwin's family, Hannah just had the vision to make sure that out of their abundance and out of their love, they would help someone else. And when you find yourself understanding how God works, it is in Christ, in the Lord, that we understand sacrifice. It's in the Lord that we understand love. All of us have people who have been a part of our journey who modeled love, who modeled sacrifice. Every time I hold my mother's hand, I think about the sacrifice of ironing shirts for 5 cents and 10 cents a shirt. And I think about all the years she slaved over a stove, running a little cafe so that we would have blue jeans to wear and shoes to put on. And all the sacrifice was there. And in her life, she never looked at it and said, hey, I don't want to do this. She always wanted to do it because she understood that the sacrifice now would make a difference later. And what you and I need to see is that when Jesus comes to becoming the good shepherd that he describes in John chapter 10, it is here that we grab hold of an understanding that we all need a shepherd. We all need somebody to keep us in the flock. In Matthew 25, as we read a moment ago and as we note, it's interesting what Jesus says. When it's all said and done, they all get separated out. We separate out what is the sheep, who are the sheep, and who are the goats. And the difference being those who've come into a relationship with the shepherd and those who've never had that encounter at all. And so today we have this awesome opportunity to dig deeply into what his word says about us being sacrificial. And I want you to think about today regarding your own life, who do you have in your life that sacrificed for you? I mean, it may have been your mom, may have been your dad, it may have been a grandparent, may have been somebody you look back and you think, wow, I'm so glad they went the extra mile. I'm so thankful that when I was a teenager, I had a Sunday school teacher, maybe like Dorian and Robin, or maybe like Cheryl, others who work with these teenagers, or Haley works in middle school, and Christy. This teacher kept sacrificing because I was not her best student. I was not the person. See, I was in church for the wrong reason when I was a teenager. I went to church because there were lots of beautiful girls there. And I believed that if I went there, it was going to be a happy time. And so then when I would go to class, they would say to me, now, you know, if you're coming to church, you got to go to our Sunday school class. I thought, well, I'll go to that class. There's lots of girls there too. And I'll never forget, I sit in that class, and I'm telling you, I would be thinking, what in the world is she talking about? Same thing you do at times at church. And I would be wondering, where is the point? But this lady, she would continue to sacrifice. She would continue to call. She would continue to invest. She continued to ask questions. She would always invest. She made a difference. You see, she has probably no idea what level of investment she made. But I'm going to tell you, when I saw her sacrifice, it motivated me to want to be more and to go closer to the one who was the good shepherd. And so when you think about sacrifice, who do you think of? It may very well be someone that you look back at that went the extra mile. They were continually investing in you. They were sacrificing so that you could have an awesome life, an opportunity to be able to understand what God had for you. And see, for each one of us, we all have those sacrificial people. And as we come to Jesus being the good shepherd, if you'll recall, we've been on a journey. And if you're here today and it's your first time, we've been on a journey that we started at the first of the year where we're looking into the heart of Jesus and trying to understand why he said that I am the bread of life, why he said I am the door, why he said I am the light of the world, why he said that I am the good shepherd, and why he said I am the resurrection and life, why he said I am the way, the truth, and life. All those things paint the picture of that life, what that life's really all about. But you and I, in order to understand extravagant love, and the title of this message is so important, because if someone loves us in a minimal way, it doesn't get us anywhere. But if someone loves us in a powerful way, it transforms the way we think, the way we respond, and that's why we understand the transforming power of God's love. Because God loves us so much that he was willing to give his only son so that we can have life, so that we can encounter life and experience life. And so what you did today, what we discover is that as we shape into our hearts an understanding of sacrifice, we have to ask ourselves the question, what does it mean to sacrifice? How would you define sacrifice? Because if you understand sacrifice, then you understand whether you're living that in that arena or if you're ignoring it. And when you think about sacrifice, it really has to do with one very simple concept. It has to do with surrendering to the needs of someone else, surrendering to make a difference in someone else's life. And let me tell you, there's not a person here that can function effectively without understanding sacrifice, because if we are self-absorbed, if our focus is on ourselves, then we never understand what it means to be sacrificial. It would have been like Jesus coming to the earth and on the earth saying, you know what, I'm here to check out everybody, but I don't have anything to say that's going to really help you because I'm focused on me. And what Jesus did was the direct opposite of that. What did Jesus keep doing? The journey into his heart was he gave himself away, kept connecting in different ways. He surrendered to help someone else be able to discover what the truth was about. And that's why when you find yourself in John chapter 10, verse 11, it is here that he makes his fourth declaration. And through this quest, we're looking at seven declarations Jesus makes. And in this 11th verse of John chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And when you read that, you realize that he comes back again in verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd. Now, here's what we know about the Bible related to shepherds. Shepherds connect to the story throughout the entire Bible. Moses was a shepherd. Jacob was a shepherd. Joseph was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. When you read Psalm 23, when it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What was David saying? David was saying that I understand the sacrifice that has been made for me. And what you and I need to do today is understand that there's something that grabs hold of us when we see that he is the good shepherd. It's interesting, when you look in Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible says that he is what? He is the great shepherd. He is the one who, obviously, when you look at the way in which he operates, he's the great shepherd who introduces into us where life will unfold. In fact, in the 21st verse, it talks about how we are equipped. And how do we get equipped? We get equipped by this great shepherd who works in our life. Peter made reference also to the shepherd when he made reference about the chief shepherd. You see, all through the Bible, there are shepherds that come along. But there is one shepherd that models sacrifice. And what you and I get a hold of today, if we grab this and understand it, here's what we're going to see. We're going to see that when we understand sacrifice, we grasp the cross, because the cross is the picture of sacrificial love. And what is an extravagant love? Someone who is willing to die for you. This past week, I launched into a journey of something I have waited 15 years to do. 15 years. 15 years ago, my mother said to me when she was much younger, you have a lot of movies that we would like to see that picture life back when others were living and are now gone, and we want you to convert that where everyone can see them. And 15 years ago, I said, well, I'm going to get to that. This past Thanksgiving, I was with my mom, and she's 82 now, and she's getting older, and she's having a more difficult time as a whole, getting around and getting things done the way she needs to. And it hit me right in the middle of Thanksgiving celebration with family and everything else. What would I be like if I stood at my mother's casket and had not given her something she asked for years and years and years before? Now you say, well, that doesn't sound like sacrifice. Do you know how much technology I understand? I mean, Ryan and others could testify that you are talking to a guy who the word savvy would never connect to techno with my name, because it's hard for me to understand, push this button and make this work. And I'll be honest with you, I spent a week and a half trying to get it to do what it's supposed to do and couldn't get it. And I finally called Ma and I said, Ma, I need the book. I'm going to have to read the book in order to understand how to do this. And finally, after 10 hours of not getting to work, I finally got one to tape to convert. Man, I stood in my office, yes, I have actually accomplished something. It's technological. And yet the truth is, you know what? It's not so much the technology. Let me tell you what happened to me. I started watching those pictures of my children when they were little. I watched as our little baby was born in 1990, and I watched all these wires be hooked up to her. Got movies of her mother and her grandmother standing there beside her. Let me tell you what, My wife asked me last night, she said, have any of these movies made, have any of them caused you to cry? And I said, you know, the one that made me cry was when I watched my wife and her mother standing over a 3-pound, 11-ounce little baby who was seemingly moving away from life and into eternity. And I watched their hands touch that child. I watched them as they caressed that little girl. And hard for me to imagine that's been 21 years. And tears were in my eyes as I thought about the sacrifice that was made. You see, that little girl, she cried for 4 solid months after she was born. Every day, every night. In fact, I'll never forget, I was leaving church one night, and she was crying and screaming, and I put her in the car seat, and I said, Ab, it doesn't matter what you say, I'm not listening tonight. And she screamed all the way home. And I think somehow the light finally went off, and we had to run the vacuum cleaner all the time to keep that child from crying. Our house is the cleanest house in all of Little Rock, Arkansas. People could have eaten off our floors and our carpets. But you know what? It's worth the sacrifice because God has entrusted to us the opportunity to make a difference in life. And so what does Jesus do when he gets to be the good shepherd? You see, in John 10, 1 through 10, he says that I'm the door for the sheep. But when you get to verse 11, he says, I'm more than that. I am the good shepherd, and the sheep know my name. And he moves us to an understanding of how important it is that we understand sacrifice, that we understand love. And my challenge for you today is to understand for your life, if it is to be what God intended, you've got to be willing to go the extra mile, sacrifice, and make a difference. Love unconditionally. Empower other people to move forward in life by helping them understand what Christ can do in their life. And if you're here without Jesus, let me just say to you, if there's anything Jesus would say, he would say, I am the good shepherd. He would say, no greater love is anyone than to lay down his life for his friend. He would say, I want you to let me live in your life because as a good shepherd, I'm going to guide you all the way through your journey. So there are 6 points I want us to look at today, all of them brief but very significant as we look at this text. And I want you to think about them as we get ready to read this text in a moment. We're going to read in John chapter 10, verse 11 through 21. And as you read it, you're going to see some things unfold because as we see it, you're going to see these qualities, these points to consider as we process through this text. Because what I want you to do is realize something. The Bible is written to help us understand who Jesus is. The way that we understand who Jesus is listen to what he said. Because you can't know anyone unless you hear their heart. And Jesus, his heart is for us to have him as a shepherd. And aren't you glad one of his I ams is, what is it? I am the judge of everything you'll ever do. I mean, aren't you glad he says, I'm the good shepherd? So these 6 points I want to make sure we look at. First of all, sacrifice. I want us to see what that word's really all about, what it means to us to surrender to someone. Secondly, I want us to see what religion does, because you'll see Jesus talks about a hired hand in verse 12 and how religion affects us. The third thing I want us to look at is how we work in our lives to understand intimacy and how intimacy works in each one of our lives. The fourth thing I want us to see is love, because I want you to see what kind of love really makes a difference and what kind of love encompasses our lives in order to help us be whole and let us have meaning and help us have purpose. And then I want us to look at what it means to have an understanding of authority, because Jesus speaks to the authority granted to him by the Father. And then finally, I want us to look at what rejection is all about, because it's interesting. By the time you get to the 21st verse, there are some people who say, I don't want Jesus as my shepherd. And you say, how could they ever reject the good shepherd? It's because their formula for analyzing who God was and how God worked was not congruent with what Jesus was saying, because Jesus had come to teach us how to love one another and teach us how to sacrifice and teach us how to make a difference. And yet those who were hired hands, as we'll see in a moment, they didn't grasp what it really meant to be able to understand a sacrificial life. And so today I want you to think about your own journey and think about in your life how many times Jesus has been the shepherd. He came and prodded you along when you were stumbling. He came and encouraged you when you were weak. He came and helped you grasp that you could be loved unconditionally in a powerful way in order to be the young man or young lady he wants you to be. You see, as we see this, you're going to see something very significant about how the Lord works in all of our lives. So 6 things I want you to see. The first one we find in that very first verse. And you'll see that in verse 11, he talks about in that text, listen to what he said. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. What do we see, first of all, that's absolutely essential? It is the beauty of sacrifice. It's what is absolutely beautiful. You see, There's nothing more beautiful that happens in any of our journey of faith, any of our journeys of faith, than the beauty of knowing somebody else would go the extra mile. It's like that person who says to you, I will pray for you until God answers what it is that you're about. I have a good friend, a recent member of our fellowship, and this good friend has made an indelible impression on me. And it's not because of anything he has done, but it has everything to do with how he has acted in a particular scenario. Very first time I ever fellowship with this friend, he asked me, after we talked about all the things that were going, all the things in life, he finally said, how can I pray for you? And this week he's been dealing with trying to take care of family and mom and dad in the latter stage of life, and all decisions have to connect into that. And we've been texting and emailing back and forth to get updates on what's transpiring. But so interesting, this on Saturday I get an update, a full update of all that's transpired with mom and dad, and mom's in the hospital and dad's not doing well, and all these things. Goes through the whole thing. But then in bold capital letters, this friend says, now, how can I pray for you? You see, what that person really said was, that person was saying that I understand how life really works. If I give myself away, something beautiful will happen. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing more beautiful than someone being willing to sacrifice and go the extra mile for you. And what you and I need to grasp is that the Lord's saying, I'm the good shepherd. I'll go out as far as you go and wander away, and I'll bring you back home. I'll guide you all the way forward. In fact, when you look at this whole concept, or when he talks about how faithful he is, he lays down his life for his sheep. What does that mean? It has to do with the fact that Jesus is faithful to fulfill every promise he makes. You see, when someone promises you something, there's power to it if you know that they'll fulfill what it is they've committed to. My wife and I, we've been married 34 years, and it's been a journey of great beauty and joy and sacrifice and commitment. But the thing that stands out to me, whenever I sweat, my wife will say to me, it reminds me of the day you married me. And the day we got married was a hot June day in 1977. And they turned, because we had all these candles burning, they turned all the air off so it wouldn't blow the candles out. So I was up there. I'll never forget this. I was up there. It's the beginning of our whole journey. And we have this friend who's an evangelist who's doing the service. It's really a sweet time. And he'd even written a song for the service. But we kneel down on the kneeling bench. And we're on this kneeling bench. And I'm telling you, the sweat is running off of me. And it looks like I'm dying. You know, and so my wife, you know, during the prayer, she grabbed my hand. She looked at me, are you okay? You know, yes, I'm okay, but this is a sacrifice. I was a hot-natured guy at 19 years old. But you know what? I still remember that moment because it captured what life sometimes does for all of us. We have to keep promises and fulfill them in order for others to understand our sacrifice and our love. There's not a parent here probably won't testify the fact that they would do whatever it would take to help their child discover what ultimately would lead them to the best life. So there's a beauty to it. There's a beauty connected to that sacrifice that helps us understand that Jesus will fulfill everything he's promised. And when he says, I'm the good shepherd, I'm going to help you through everything you're facing in life. There's a second thing, though, because when you get to verses 12 and 13, you find what happens when somebody tries to introduce you into life but does not understand how life works. Look, if you would, at verses 12 and 13, because here we see the pressure points of religion. What happens when somebody tries to give you something they don't even understand themselves? Notice how Jesus couched it in words that we couldn't miss. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. Now, Jesus uses something here that would be easy to grasp but for anyone who's listening to him as he's teaching this, they realize there are some who might work with the sheep but who are not connected and love the sheep. And this hired hand that he talks about here has to do with anyone who is religious, but watch this. It implies this kind of concept. Somebody who is out for what they can get. Somebody who only wants what they can get. For example, it would be like a person not grasping that the only way to really identify in life in the way God intended is to experience love. But they can say, well, God loves me, but never experience it. And what happens? They're like a hired hand. And what he says here is that if anything comes that's a pressure point, what does the hired hand do? The Bible says he flees, he runs. And what you discover is those who are a part of God's flock run towards you in the midst of your heartache, difficult, and difficulty and anxiety and pain and stuff you face. But those who are just hired hand, in other words, those who are just going through church, going to church to be able to connect to the motion, those who are just motioning through life, when things get tough, what do? They run. And I think when Jesus said this, what he was really trying to say is that religion always causes us to run when pressure points come. When the pressures come at us, a person that's outside of the faith runs. And listen carefully. If you have a trial going on, do not run from the trial. Instead, yield to the shepherd who says, I'll take you in my fold. I'll watch over you. I'll help you understand how to live through this. Because we all have these things, these circumstances, these situations. Another good friend of mine faced something this week with his wife, and it blessed me that the first phone call that he made connected to it was to call me and say, would you pray specifically for my wife in this particular week that the Lord would do what only he can do? And I prayed from that point on until I sent a text to him to say, hey, tell me what happened, and a clear medical report in the midst of great anxiety about something. You see, what that friend did was realize that he doesn't have a hired hand as his pastor. He has someone who loves him, wants the best for his life. And what you understand is what Jesus is saying is you have the Lord in you. I mean, you got something going on that really will take you where someone else can never take you. This hired hand who's in it just to get what they can get. All through history, it is recorded of those who were hired hands, who only connected into religion but never connected into Jesus. And obviously, by the time we get to the 21st verse, we realize that those who are connected to religion ultimately reject what could change their life forever. So, first of all, there's this beauty of sacrifice. But then there's the response that we have related to religion and how we react to it, these pressure points. Then in verses 14 and 15, we see the blessing of intimacy. And it's an important verse because here you get to grasp something that sometimes is misconstrued in our world. Look, if you would, verses 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Same thing he said in verse 11. I lay down my life for the sheep. Now watch this. Here's what he said. He says in his text that he knows us. I know my own, and my own know me. Here's what you grasp when you look at this. What Jesus conveys is there is no more intimate aspect of life than to have a good shepherd who knows us. And let me tell you what you discover about intimacy. It is to be fully known, fully discovered, fully revealed, and without fear, watch this, without fear of rejection. And why do so many couples, for example, never encounter this kind of relationship where there is an absolute connection point at the point of intimacy? Because they misunderstand what it really means. To be fully known, to be fully discovered, to be fully revealed without fear of rejection is what every person longs for in life. Many people will even walk into a relationship thinking that this will be the key to it. Listen carefully. You can't be intimate based on what Jesus says in John chapter 10, connected to someone else without understanding how you are connected to him. He says, I know them and they know me. What you and I need to see is that when we start grasping what it means to be intimate, we will begin to reveal ourselves to the Lord. We'll confess the things that get in our way. We'll convey to him, Lord, help me in this. I'm struggling with this, or I'm working through that. And what you discover is that Jesus made it very clear that I'm going to lay my life down. I'm going to sacrifice because I want this intimate relationship. And what is he really getting across to? There's no greater blessing in life. When you think about how life works, there's no greater blessing in life than to be fully known by Jesus. I mean, because who is the one who calls your name? Who is the one who knows the intent of your thought? Who is the one who captures your capacity to make life have meaning and purpose? And listen carefully. You can chase the wind. You can chase the world. You can chase the wisdom of the world. But none of it brings you into an intimate encounter with Jesus. And let me tell you what you and I need to see as we sit in church on this particular day. It is to the degree that we intimately connect to Jesus that we begin to understand what a fulfilling life really is all about. And if you're here and you're struggling in being able to connect with that, maybe you have reservation after reservation. What does Jesus say here? I know you and you know me. I'll lay it down for you one more time to help you see what it means. What an unbelievable aspect of connecting to the blessing of intimacy for each one of us. The question is, when you think about your journey, could you relate to Psalm 100 where it talks about verse 3 that we are the sheep of his pasture? Could you relate to Revelation 7 where he makes it clear that he will lead us to springs of living water? Who takes us to the living water? The good shepherd. And why does a good shepherd take us there? Because he knows us. And let me say this to you. Don't spend a moment missing the most intimate thing that you could ever have in life, and that is to know him and to make him fully known to those that you encounter. You see, that's why Jesus has called us to be authentic followers of Jesus. Authentic followers, committed to impacting the world in which we live. That's what our vision's all about, to make sure that we're authentic. How do you become authentic? You intimately connect into who the Lord is and what he can do. And that's why when you look at the cross, watch this, you can't miss it. When we relate to Jesus, we see the cross up and down. We see connecting to God. But when we relate to others, we see how God has positioned people in our lives to make an eternal difference in our life. And so what you and I, we live out the cross. That's why we have looked in the very beginning of this series. We looked at what it meant to be desperate. And here's what we said, that we had to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. You're not going to deny yourself unless you understand how important it is that you're intimate with him. And so what you see is our world has reversed that, hadn't it? Our world has conveyed that what intimacy really is all about is some physical encounter that we have. When Jesus is not talking about physical encounter at all, he's talking about the spiritual encounter that transforms the way that we live, to be fully known, fully revealed, without any fear of rejection. There's power in that because that motivates us to move forward and discover his best for our life. Let's look on though, because then he talks about this next thing. It talks about his love, the scope of his love. Verse 16, look what he said. I have other sheep which are not of this fold, and I must bring them also. And look at that word must. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. When you look at this, you understand something. God's plan for calling out into the world is inclusive of the entire world. I mean, see, here's what you see. He says that there are Jew and Greek. There are those who are Gentile and those who are of the chosen people. And what he says in this one verse is probably the most assuring thing you could ever hear if you don't have Jewish blood running in you. And what Jesus says here is they all have to come together as one flock. They all come together as one family. They must. And I love the fact that as an emphatic focus that Jesus says, they must come together as one because I'm the shepherd of them all. And so what you and I see is that what kind of love is that? That he would reach out across the whole world. That's why when we hear amazing stories of how God has transformed the lives of those throughout the world, we come away going, what an unbelievable point of rejoicing. That in some remote house in China, people are coming to know Christ. In the jungle of South America, there are people are coming to know Christ. Across the globe, we hear the story over and over again of how God is working his amazing love. And what is that all about? It's the inclusiveness of God wanting that he would not want anyone to perish, but all would come into repentance, all would come into a relationship. And so here's what you see today, the scope of what it is God has for you. It's not a narrow scope that's defined by some unrealistic expectation. It's defined instead by come and experience me and watch what happens when you experience my love, when you experience the blessing of my love. And what my encouragement to you today is think about how broad that scope is, that he can meet you right where you are and take you places you never dreamed possible. How do you do that? You come into an understanding of what his love is really all about. Let's look on though, because there's another thing we see here. We see that beyond this love, there's this scope, that there's this power of his authority. Look at verse 17. For here he makes a very clear declaration. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Now, what does Jesus say here? Jesus makes it clear that he's operating with an understanding of authority. But what is his authority based in? It's based in love. And what you discover in life is that if you have an authority over you and they love you, you'll go wherever they want you to go. You'll do whatever they ask you to do. Why? Because it's positioned in love. And here's what Jesus said. I have been given the authority to give my life away on the cross, and I have been given the authority to take it back again. And what he was really trying to say to us by way of understanding was that there's something about how he positioned this authority. It's the very reason when you look at Jesus teaching in the parables, and in many of the parables that kind of give us the same concept. And we looked at some of these this past week in midweek Bible study. These parables, Jesus starts telling these earthly stories with heavenly meaning to say one thing. There is authority that rests in the name of Jesus, which tells you why people take Jesus' name in vain. You'll see in a moment what happens when someone rejects him, what they convey about him. So important for us to see that what Jesus does here is that he is an authority. There's power to it, but it's not positioned the wrong way. His authority is positioned in love as he acts in obedience to accomplish what he intends to do in each one of our lives, to accomplish the point of transforming lives. And what he does here is he says, you know, not only am I going to love you, not only am I going to lay my life down for you, but I'm going to make sure you're always with me. You're always a part of it. I mean, what assurance do we have when we think about the authority that rests in the name of Jesus? We have the assurance of knowing that that name you can trust until you see him face to face. But what we grasp here is, if you stop right there at verse 18, here's what you say. What a great story. I mean, think about it. I mean, here he says, man, I'm going to lay it down for you. The hired hand, those people that we're in for, they're going to be out of the way. They're going to run anyway. And I'm going to love you. I'm going to intimately know you. And you'd think everybody listening would come away going, wow, look at that. But that's never the case. It's just like here today. It very well could be that you're in this room. There's a part of you that says, yeah, I'd like to get in on that deal. There's another part of you that says, I like doing it my way. And here's what Jesus would say to you. My way is the only way. Your way leads you to the highway. It takes you away from what God has for you. And you drive away from life. And so if you're here and you've been trying to do it, your formula says, well, if I do this and I do this, then it'll all work. Here's what Jesus said. Come to the shepherd. Come to the shepherd, become a part of my flock, and I'll guide you every step of your journey. But let's look at this final thing as we wrap this together. Because here we come to this place where, in verse 19, those who are listening are not all excited about it. In fact, when you look at verse 19, this is where you get to the reality of rejection. When someone says, I don't want that. And you know, through 30 plus years of pastoring, there are many people I've talked to about Jesus. And many of the people I've talked to said, nope, I don't want that. That's not a part of what I need. I don't need that. Listen carefully. When you say you don't need him, what you're really saying is, I don't know what I need. Because everybody needs Jesus to help them, to guide them, to strengthen their life. So what happens here, notice in verse 19 what transpired. A division occurred again among the Jews because of these words. What words? The authority that rests in the name of Jesus. That's why you see them attacking his name all the time. Verse 20. Many of them were saying, he has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him? Others were saying, these are not the sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? Going back to what we looked at last week about the blind beggar. And here's what you see. What happened to all these people who are listening to these powerful words? They didn't hear them. They rejected them. They said, I don't want to do it that way. And my encouragement to you today is, do it God's way and watch what happens. Watch the power of it. In fact, when you think about it, what is this really all about? It's really all about how life works. Because life without Jesus is confounding and overwhelming. But life with Jesus changes the way that we live, changes the way we respond, and makes life absolutely fantastic. So my challenge to you today is think about your own life. Think about, do you understand how important it is that you see the Good Shepherd has laid down his life for you? And because he has laid it down, we can sing Hosanna, Hosanna to God in the highest. Glory to God. Why can we sing that? Because the shepherd of the sheep went to the cross to become the Savior of the world. And it is at the name of Jesus that we find life, find meaning, find purpose, find hope, find direction, and ultimately we find what we look for the most, and that is an eternity with him forever. Who would trade for an eternity with Jesus? You would never want to play with that fire. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the power of your word speaks to our lives. Thank you for the Good Shepherd. Lord, you said you were the Good Shepherd. And Lord, when I think about that, you tenderly and carefully care for those that you love. And so, Lord, I just pray that if there's someone here who's looking for that answer to connect into, that they realize it's as simple as saying yes to you, turning their life over to you, and making a difference forever because they finally find the shepherd who will shepherd their heart and will guide them. Then they can find themselves just like David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. Lord, Promises after promises after promises all help us understand that there is a good shepherd who is the great shepherd, who is the chief shepherd, who will ultimately shepherd our hearts. And we pray that you would move in our lives in a special way as we take this moment to surrender to you. In Christ's name, amen.